Picture the landscape on a cool spring night in the mountains of East Tennessee. You drive toward Knoxville on I-75 and get off the highway near the Kentucky border. Driving along the winding state Route 63, you notice the night gets darker and darker. You are the only car on the road as you wind through the hilly terrain. Eventually, you come to a small town, and as you turn the corner, you see the ancient jail looming, beckoning you to enter. Miranda Young and Christy Sumner are the entrepreneurs who run the historic Scott County Jail and allow visitors to explore the history and ghosts of this old stone structure. Would you care to make this trek to this historic site? You'll definitely want to put this on your bucket list after today's episode of Homespun Haints. Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
I'm Diana.
And we are continuing on with our theme of the season, Appalachian Ghosts. And today we are excited to bring back repeat guests. We have Miranda Young, the ghost biker, and Dr. Christy Sumner of Soul Sisters Paranormal. We've had them both on the show separately in the past. They are good friends, and in the few years since we've talked to them, they have opened a haunted jail.
Well, they didn't open a haunted jail.
Well, the jail was there. Yeah.
And it was already haunted. They didn't, like, you know, perform any weird rituals or kill anybody there.
They didn't cause the hauntings. The hauntings were there, but they became the caretakers of this haunted jail. And there just happens to be a very haunted town next door. And they're going to tell us all about it and some of the ghost stories and things they've experienced and hopefully entice you to load up that extra hearse you have sitting in the garage and drive to northeastern Tennessee, where the historic Scott County Jail and the tiny town of Rugby, haunted town, exist, surrounded by nothing but wilderness and Bigfoot and not deer. Diana and I plan to be there ourselves very soon. We can't
yes.
wait.
Yes. Make sure you join us live from some extremely creepy places in Appalachia, including the Lost Sea of Appalachia and the historic Scott County Jail and the historic utopian town of Rugby.
We'll be sharing all of that, so be sure you go ahead and join our Patreon now so you can follow along when we do these things. We'll be announcing it there and on our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/homespunhaints. And we'll probably get around to mentioning it on our Instagram and our TikTok, if TikTok's still around by then, at homespunhaints. If you don't know what that means, you are blissfully not on social media, and we're very jealous of you if that's blissful. The case. Anyway, speaking of the opposite of Appalachia.
What is the opposite of Appalachia, Australia?
What I did Monday night. So this is what happens when you get in front of a computer while inebriated. You buy concert tickets and then you forget about it.
Oops. Did you forget to go to a concert?
No, I forgot about it until I got a notification Sunday night saying, oh, your tickets for Gary Numan tomorrow are on Monday night.
Odd. What a strange time to go to a concert as an adult.
You know how much I have going on a Monday night. I've got the kids' lessons. We just got a new puppy. It was so much work to find somebody to watch the puppy and find somebody to drive the kids to their various activities. We made it work. I really like Gary Numan. I'm a really big fan. If you don't know who that is, look it up. You would recognize one of his songs. It was a hit in the 80s, and that's how long he's been performing. He was a huge influence for Trent Reznor, so that gives you an idea of how long Gary Numan's been performing. He was Trent Reznor's influence. So my husband and I go downtown, and it was, I just have to share how amusing it was, because we're thinking, oh yeah, we're so cool, we're going to a concert, downtown Atlanta, I mean downtown Atlanta, like this place is kind of rough.
Like the place where I wouldn't get out of the car.
Yeah, it's near there, yeah. And my husband puts on his leather pants.
Ooh.
And I doll myself up with, and we get down there and we park. We're like, oh, yeah, We got a parking spot.
Oh, that's even more impressive, actually.
Part of why we were able to get a parking spot is because, like, old people, we got there on time. And of course, like, we knew it'd probably start an hour after it said it would. But that's okay, because we spent about 20 minutes circling around trying to find the underground entrance to this place. Ooh. So for those of you that are familiar with Atlanta, it was at the Masquerade, which is in the old underground. And I've been there before. I've been there recently. Again, inebriated while on front of the computer and buying random concert tickets. But I mean, they're so cheap. They're like 20, 30 bucks. So it's it's not a difficult decision. And then later you're like, how am I going to make this work as an old parent on a Wednesday or a Thursday? But we got there on time and it was completely desolate. Not a big draw of an act, apparently.
Oh.
So the area is completely desolate except for just a bunch of aimless, very lost looking aging goths like wandering around going, where's the masquerade? Do you know where Gary Newman is? full on leather, men wearing skirts and eyeliner and long white hair.
Nice.
And we get to the venue and it's the same thing. I mean, lots of leather, lots of gray. One person found the place, and because they're goths, everybody's like being really nice and trying to help each other out. We all realized none of us were cool enough to like not ask for directions. And we could all kind of tell, like we'd see another person with purple hair coming around the corner and be like, are you here to see Gary Newman too? I think the entrance is down there. Yeah, you know, surprisingly, we were actually some of the youngest people there, but it felt so warm and fuzzy in a weird way.
I love being surrounded by goths. It does feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, and old ones too. It's like, oh, you never stopped, just like me.
Exactly. I'm from an area where there's so few goths that there is no gatekeeping. Nobody to gatekeep, basically.
Well, there's no point. Why would you gatekeep being an aging goth?
Like, yeah, that's true.
It kind of reminds me of our Facebook page. Somebody said that they were like, oh, yeah, there's gatekeeping on what you can consider Appalachian. And I'm like, why would you gatekeep being a hillbilly? Like, really? You are or you aren't. And like, don't be like, oh no, you can't be part of this whatever crowd it is. You got too many teeth. No, I mean, just let people live. Yeah, there was no gatekeeping at all. And then the first act that came out, I'd never seen him before, Frontline Assembly.
Ooh, I love Frontline Assembly.
Yeah, also from the 80s. These guys come out just total badasses. Like,
they
just
are.
I mean, they were just rocking, and I remember thinking, man, it's interesting that a lot of them are blonde. Like, you'd think they'd have black hair. Like, what's with the blonde? And then the lights come on, and I was like, oh.
Oh.
That's white hair.
Yeah. You can still dye it black. It doesn't stay black when it's white. It turns purple or blue really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope when I am that age, I can still rock that hard.
Right?
They were amazing. They were all really, really good. And I just had such a good time. And I'm like, you know what? I'm okay. If this is aging gracefully, I can do it. I'm totally fine with this. I will smear that dark eyeliner into my crow's feet and just go with it. I'm just let the black lipstick bleed and the wrinkles around my lips. We're good. I just want to encourage everybody, if you're out there thinking, oh man, I'm just a little too old to go out for live music. No, you're not. Let this be your midlife crisis, because it's a good one.
So this is not the guy who makes the popcorn.
What?
Newman's own brand. Gary Newman.
No.
Not that one.
That guy's dead.
Oh.
Paul Newman.
Newman. It's not Gary Oldman either. Gary Oldman is a separate person as well. I'm really trying to picture this person in my head, but I have no frame of reference whatsoever.
God, really?
I made Becky choke on her own phlegm.
Are you tired of websites that have been Frankenstein together?
Oh, my website is so slow and creaky.
Every time I use the search bar, it just returns Abby Normal over and over again.
Becky's sister company, The Concept Spot, holds the secret to life itself and can create new life from nothing. In fact, we've been giving life to highly functional websites for the last 25 years using premium parts we swear we didn't salvage from graveyards.
Ooh, check out that head. Image.
Instead of going,
my new website purrs.
Need a blog? The Concept Spot can do that. Want an online store? We can do that too.
We build our sites from the cellular level. No reused templates or discarded body parts here, so we can make your site do whatever you want and look however you want.
It's gorgeous! I can't even see the stitches.
We can also resurrect your dead website if rigor mortis has set in.
Oh, it's like a new man.
If you think Homespun Haints is frighteningly genius, you should see our websites. Let your favorite ghoulish gals, Becky and Diana, build you a monstrous website that will wreak havoc on the internet for years to come.
Visit theconceptspot.com for more information.
It's live! It's live!
Anyway, so yeah, that was my week. It was amusing. I loved seeing the crowd.
Nice.
I loved seeing the crowd. It was It was refreshing.
It was refreshing.
Not all of us go blonde and start playing tennis in our 40s.
Hey, now, I'm blonde.
I know. I have to do it again because the gray is too prominent.
Oh, for your care.
That's one thing I don't think you and I have ever done together, Diana, is go see live music.
Why would we bother? You can't talk in a live music venue. You can't see in a live music venue. Most of the time, you can't even sit down in a live music venue. Now, I'm too old for that crap. I don't know if I could handle it anymore. I really just can barely stand there for an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's rough. And then you have to pee, and it's like, well, can I get my little, like, section of floor back?
That's why there's sawdust on the floor, right?
This place is nicer than that. Okay, it's not Oklahoma.
Nice. It's not Oklahoma.
We don't clear out the barn and scrape up most of the manure before the performances here. We actually have dedicated places for it.
You have to constantly wave pigeons out the whole time. Crows.
This is why Diana doesn't see much live music, folks.
If you dance too fast, the corn on the floor turns into popcorn. It's dangerous. Is there corn on the floor in a barn? I don't know.
Yeah.
They store hay in barns, not corn. Sorry.
I mean, if it's a corn barn.
If it's a corn barn.
Well, no, if you got chickens in there and you feed them corn.
Okay. Not to be confused with Pottery Barn or Dress Barn.
That's where you feed the pottery corn.
It's corn either way. Dress is made from corn. Yeah, probably. We're very close to Kansas.
Anyway, we're very thrilled to bring on Miranda and Christy. They're amazing storytellers, and they have some just really, really cool things that they're up to. So I hope you guys really enjoy talking to them as much as we did, and maybe you'll be inspired to drive to Northeast Tennessee in the dark, dark night and not get eaten by Bigfoot. And we will be there soon, so again, you can follow us on patreon.com/homespunhaints to find out when our adventures in Tennessee begin.
Mm-hmm. And if you're there on our Patreon, why not consider becoming a member of our Patreon, where you can listen to all of our episodes ad-free at the lowest tier. And here's an example of why.
Today on the show, we are thrilled to bring on repeat guests, though they haven't been on the show at the same time before. We have today Dr. Christy Sumner and Miranda Young, the Ghost Biker, on our show today. We featured them a few years ago, and then since that time, they have started so many really, really cool paranormal projects. They now are the caretakers. They run the show at the historic Scott County Jail, where you can go on ghost tours and ghost investigations. And they're also in charge of the After Dark activities of the very haunted town of Rugby next door. We're so excited to have them on to share all of their projects. And I know they have a lot of other things going on too. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for coming back on the show today.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Miranda, you do investigations, you have your YouTube channel, and Christy, you have Soul Sisters Paranormal, your own paranormal investigation group, all women out of Florida. You've been friends for years and years and years, and now you have these amazing projects that you're doing together. So let's start with the jail. How did that come about? How did somebody get such a cool project?
Well, as you said, Miranda and I, we've been friends for a long time. She's from this area of Scott County, Tennessee. She was born and raised here. I mean, her great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is on the Revolutionary War Hero Board in the town. So that's how far back her family goes in this county.
Wow. That's awesome.
Since we've been friends, we had been talking about starting a business and trying to find a location to run a museum as well as what we call a paranormal research center. So really, COVID was the catalyst for that because Miranda worked in Chattanooga. I did live down in Florida. Unfortunately, she lost her job due to COVID, and I was in a position to kind of move and do something different. So she said, why don't we put our business plan into action? And I said, a museum in the middle of a pandemic, why not? I mean, that just makes perfect business sense. So we were able to secure a meeting with the town of Huntsville, the leadership, the mayor and the aldermen and such. Miranda did some great marketing designs. So we had that going for us and we put together a solid business plan and told them really what we wanted to do with the jail. And they were on board, solidly on board with that. So it's really been an amazing experience since the fall of 2021.
Oh, they just said, okay, we're not doing anything with it.
Pretty much. So we decided to form the company History, Highways, and Haunts, and they really weren't doing anything with the building at the time. It had sat vacant since it had closed in 2008. They got a tourism grant in 2017. They still really didn't know what they wanted to do with it. He knew that he wanted to preserve it and make it accessible to the community. But when they heard our business plan as far as having the history of the museum being the face of the business, and then the paranormal being essentially what was going to bring people in and be the economic driver for it, he instantly was like, yeah, we know this is exactly what we want to do, and we want to do it with these two. So it was exciting to be able to do that.
Now, for reference for people listening, this is in Huntsville, Tennessee, in Scott County, and I would say it's about 30 minutes north of Knoxville. Does that sound, give or take?
About an hour. It's an hour.
Oh, I guess I was driving really fast last time I did it.
You always do.
Hour north of Knoxville. And it's pretty close to the Kentucky border, right?
Yeah, not too far from the Kentucky border. Correct.
It's definitely by no means a large town. I think the population is around 1,200 or something of that nature.
Yeah, a little over that, but not by much. Not by much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just a cute little town. It has an adorable downtown, and the jail is right there. It's such a stunning location, and it's very, very haunted.
Did they know it was haunted before you became the caretakers, or did you suss out the ghosts?
Well, it's always had a haunted reputation. In fact, when it was in operation as a jail, inmates would report things happening. Deputies, for a certain amount of time, the 911 dispatch center was in the jail as well. And we know some of the current operators, 911 operators, and they've told us stories about working in there. One lady said that she got on the elevator by herself one night and something coughed in her ear. So that was extremely common. Footsteps running up the back stairs were extremely common. And it's interesting, when people found out what we were going to do and when we opened the jail, detectives and deputies and such come up and say, I don't believe in that stuff, but when I worked there, this happened. I don't really know if this is for real, but this happened and I can't explain it. One deputy said that she was sitting there by herself one night in the admin room and everything was swept off of her desk. It's like somebody took an arm and just swept everything off of her desk. So that's when she started believing in the paranormal. So yeah, it's had a haunted reputation pretty much its entire existence.
That's cool. I can't imagine getting everything swept off my desk with nobody there.
Sounds terrible.
Ugh, creepy.
Yeah, inmates would often talk about the elevator opening and closing on its own. And it was not uncommon at all for even the deputies working to say that the elevator would open, nobody would get out, and it would just completely run on its own.
Is the elevator still in operation at the jail?
No.
No, it stopped operating a while ago. The jail closed as a functioning jail in 2008, and then it sat vacant really from 2008 until we opened the museum in 2021. So even though there was a tourism grant and some money was put back into the jail, mostly in the form of painting and new windows, a lot of the structure, like the elevators and stuff, there just wasn't enough in the budget to fix something like that. So the elevator does not work, so you get the full experience by walking up the stairs.
Well, I know you all have had so many experiences during investigations and just by being there and fixing up the place. Please share with us some of the things that have happened to you.
Well, one of the interesting things that we do, and I'm not sure if other location owners or operators actually do this, but we very much communicate with our spirits. We will go in, if I open in the morning, when I go in, I say good morning. When Miranda closes at night, she says good night. When we have teams come in, Miranda will go up and have a 15-20 minute conversation with our spirits, telling them the name of the team that's coming in, how many people will be investigating that night. So we really communicate everything that we do with our spirits, because we feel we're in a team with them and they're part of what we do. One of the most interesting things that happened to me was I was opening up. It was a Saturday morning. I was the only person in the building, so I was there a little early. And I had a cup of coffee with me because if I don't have my coffee in the morning, I don't function. So that's the first thing I do when I go in. I make my coffee and then I go up and open the cells and turn on the lights and such. So I was up on the third floor and I just said, good morning, everybody. Anybody want to share a cup of coffee with me? And a man's voice said, yeah, I do. He was literally within 4 feet of me. Cool. So I just set the coffee cup down and said, okay, I'll leave this one for you. And I kind of promptly made my way back downstairs. Even though you know the potential is always there for something to happen, when it does, and when it's that responsive and immediate, I mean, it still does make the hair stand up.
I imagine.
Like I said, you're expecting it, but then on the other side, you're not expecting it. So Ooh. It was a really cool experience for me.
Was that at all frightening to you or just kind of, whoa, startling?
It was startling because, like I said, we always communicate with them. And so we were constantly hearing disembodied voices. But it's just one of those where you never know when it's going to happen because we ask questions all the time and maybe 0.5% of them get answered. That was such an immediate, direct response, literally right beside me, that it was like, okay, well, I think I'm going to go back downstairs and reset for just a second because I need a moment.
Oh, wow. So you say that the potential's always there and you get disembodied voices all the time. Is it a stressful place to work? Does it make you nervous? Or what does it feel like to go there all the time?
No, it's really just kind of, we always go in kind of expecting the unexpected, really, because, you know, you never know. We're there usually up to about 16 hours a day. And so it's not uncommon at all to hear voices, to see things, to hear stuff moving around and be the only people in the building. It's sometimes more startling than anything. Our spirits are not only intelligent, but they're also aware a lot of what's going on. We do get the residual stuff as well, but a lot of it tends to be intelligent. One of the first experiences that I had there, I was working there in the gift shop. That's where we stay whenever the paranormal teams are in there. And after the investigation was over, I'd gone up to get things ready to close up. Came out of the room, went to put some stuff in the booking area. And when I came out, I heard what sounded like this deep, rich hum. I couldn't really tell at first if that's what it was, but it went for about 3 seconds, clears its throat, and then continues on for about another 3 seconds. It was startling and shocking to me because whenever I heard it, first, I'm upset because I'm like, well, I don't have my recorder with me. And then second of all, it's like, you know, what did I really hear this? And so I reached out to Chris and asked her to check the security camera footage to make sure that we maybe caught the hum. Well, we didn't catch the hum, but at those timestamps that she was looking at, when I come back in the room, we caught two voices. One said, there she is. And the other said, not so loud next time. And clear as can be, two separate voices. So we believe that one of the voices was acknowledging the fact that I was there. The other was telling whoever was humming on the steps to not be so loud.
Well, that just confirms our deepest fears, Becky, is when we die, we'll still have phlegm.
And that's kind of funny, too, because that's what a lot of people experience is somebody coughing, somebody doing an exasperated sigh. There's one section of the building where just this just happens a lot. The lady who had the spirit cough in their ear, it's a very common thing for some weird reason there at the jail.
Miranda, I remember you relaying a story. I think it's in the kitchen area. You had trouble with putting things on a table and they would disappear. And then also like sharp objects would disappear.
Yeah. When we moved in there, we had the keys about 2 months before we opened up as a museum. So we were getting everything ready, putting the museum together. And on the second floor, I was actually cleaning under the dumbwaiter system and dislodged a straight razor blade from inside there. It was just this rusty, gnarly looking blade. And I set it there on the table. Because my business partner, she wasn't there at the time. And so I had everything sitting there on the table, kind of had it centralized there on the second floor. And after about, I guess it was about 2 days when Chris came back into town, she went up to look for it and it wasn't there. It was missing. We've still yet to find that razor blade. So we always tell teams if they want to try putting something sharp there in the kitchen area and see if they move it. We've actually ended up losing two different items. The razor blade as well as the scissors has gone missing. Now, one of the cool things about the scissors is one of the first teams that was there, they asked what the co-owners of the museum was missing. And they actually got a really cool EVP that said scissors.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it seems like sharp objects just have a way of growing legs. The razor blade that Miranda found, obviously, that was something that somebody had hidden up there in the dumbwaiter system. It's not the only thing that we found. We found two other razors stuck in the wall since we've been there. A team found a comb that was stuck in a little hiding spot. So we're still finding things inside the jail that were left by inmates that people weren't aware of. So it was just kind of interesting with that razor blade that Miranda found. It was like, oh, yeah, thanks. I couldn't remember where I put that, and I'm going to take that back now. But I have yet to see it. I have not seen the razor blade. I don't even know what it looks like because it was not there when I got back.
So they take it and hide it even better. Do you think they're just habitual because they're inmates and they're thinking, I don't have access to sharp things? Or do you think they actually have nefarious ideas?
No, I think it was just kind of out of necessity. They would make or create sharp items while they were in jail. And yeah. Here's sharp items. To Miranda's point, we had a pair of red-handled scissors. $5 at Ace, those suckers cost us. And we only used them for about a day and gone, completely gone.
When they tear down the building a century from now, they'll find them all like in a row in the wall somewhere.
Yeah, right. That's it, exactly.
Now, Christy, if you completely relocated from Florida, are you in Tennessee full time now?
I am. I am in Tennessee, property owner, taxpayer. So yeah, we're making it happen here in Tennessee now.
Oh, welcome awesome. To the frozen north. I'm sure you're enjoying the occasional snow.
That's why I moved here. Listen, you don't get many seasons in Florida. So coming up here to Tennessee was a really great move, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a beautiful part of Tennessee, too. Mm-hmm.
Now, you all have the jail, and then right next door is rugby, which you now are also in charge of all of the after dark activities.
We are.
And as you can imagine, that involves a lot of ghostly, spooky things. Tell us about rugby, because I'm...
Yeah, because I just got CC'd in an email where we were going to go to the jail and then go to a rugby game. So I got really confused after all of this.
No, it's a little bit different from the game. One of the things that we wanted to do when we formed our company, History, Highways, and Haunts, is we wanted to expand to different areas. Our primary focus is historic preservation. In fact, right now, I'm actually doing a nationwide study on after dark tourism, providing historic preservation efforts and revenue. So we approached the town of Rugby, which is about 20 minutes from the jail. It was a utopian village that was formed by a Christian socialist in 1880. And it was a very interesting experiment that he had. He wanted to bring what he called the Second Sons of England over to the Cumberland Plateau here in Tennessee because they really didn't have any options in their native England, right? Because like we're seeing right now, there's the heir and then there's the spare. So the spares didn't really have many options. So he would bring them over here and try to let them make a living over here. But it was much different because they were born into wealth and privilege, and now they're being asked to work the land in East Tennessee. So it didn't really work out as well as he had envisioned. But in its heyday, it had about 68 structures, houses, schools, a library, a commissary, churches and such. And currently, it has about 14 of those original structures still standing from the 1880s, complete with everything that was in them. All the furniture, books, sculptures, paintings, all of that are still inside these buildings. So what we wanted to do is we approached the town of Rugby and said, listen, we know that after dark tourism is something that is extremely hot right now in terms of tourism. And this is what we've done with the jail. We're taking those tourism dollars and putting it back into historic preservation. And we would like to help you do that. So we have formed an amazing friendship with Historic Rugby Incorporated, which is the nonprofit that runs Historic Rugby. They are so passionate about their town and preserving it. And so for us to be able to come in and offer all of their After Dark programming, it's really a great fit for us and for them. Like I said, it's been a great friendship, a great partnership. So what we do is we run all of the lantern tours. We've got two options of those. We run the guided ghost hunts, and then we run the paranormal investigations.
Tell us about some of the hauntings in Rugby.
Well, Rugby has a lot of different hauntings there, everything from disembodied voices to shadow figures to some of the most amazing photo captures that I've ever seen. We always instruct people best practices as far as taking pictures on these lantern tours and guided ghost hunts. And they've captured in a few of the different structures some people looking out the windows that we've been able to go back and try to recreate. And with no success, we've not been able to debunk the images that people have captured there. Also, we get children in the schoolhouse. If you go and you talk about old England or play music from the cornet band, certain songs that were popular at that time, we get responses. In fact, we just did a guided ghost hunt this past weekend. And when in the Thomas Hughes house, which is known as Kingstone Lisle, we ask whose house this was. And the very clear response immediately, Thomas, was what came across the obelisk there. So lots of intelligent responses from there as well. It's kind of a virgin property, if you will, when it comes to investigating. It's not been overly investigated. There have only been just a few teams that came in before we took over the After Dark programming. And so with starting this mid-year last year, we've really been able to watch the activity grow as we've been going in.
Yeah, I'm sure the spirits there are like, ooh, people.
They really are. We've had, like to Miranda's point, a lot of different experiences just on our lantern tours. The lantern tours are really built more toward, we tell the historical narrative of Rugby on these tours, and then we offer some creepy legends and ghost stories, and we show some of the evidence that we've captured, but it's not really billed as we sit and do an EVP session or anything that immersive. But there'll be times, for example, when I'm in the schoolhouse, and I'll just simply say the spirits tend to enjoy it when we bring guests in. So I had made that comment, and a little girl's voice said, yes, I do. And again, very responsive, very intelligent. When we have the guided ghost hunts or the paranormal investigations, they're very much responsive to trigger items such as music or talking about England or playing God Save the Queen or the King. Those things are really interesting because we're learning about them as well. At the jail, we kind of know now the hotspots, what to ask, what to play, the trigger items that's going to initially get a response. But we're learning these things at Rugby now, and I think it's really enhancing the activity.
We have two different tours that we do as far as our lantern tours. The downtown village tour is the one we recommend first, which that one goes into a more detailed timeline about the village itself, and then telling some of the different stories that are associated with those houses that we're able to go into. And then the second one, it's the north end of the village, and that contains Uffington House, the Tabard Inn burn site, and then a very long and creepy walk down to the cemetery. And on that walk, since it's not right in the middle of the village, I spend a lot more time talking about Victorian burial customs, Appalachian superstitions, and folklore associated with burials. Not only was Rugby the English village there, but you had a lot of Appalachian settlers that lived around the village itself. And so it's important to tie those two together so you can show how they were all living together. So we tell those stories. I'll talk a little bit about Bigfoot, talk a little bit about the not deer, and a few of the other sort of cryptids that have been associated with the area, and then tie it up with a tour there of Uffington House and a little mini session that we do inside there.
And I think that's something that's really unique about what we can do with Rugby, because we have such a great partnership with them. A lot of ghost walk tours or lantern tours, you hear about the surrounding town and the village and the history, but you don't get access to buildings. Typically, you're not going to go into buildings. With the tours that we do at Rugby, we actually get to go into these historic structures. The downtown tour, we talk about numerous structures, but we get to go into Kingstone Lyle, which was Thomas Hughes's house. We get to go into the schoolhouse, and then we get to go into the library. All of these are original buildings from the 1880s. That's what really kind of makes us unique. For the Northern Village tour and the cemetery tour, we get to go into Uffington House, which again is a structure that was built in 1883. So you get to have more of that immersive, tactile experience, more so than just walking past them and hearing about the ghost stories associated with them.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch. Mwah.
Absolutely. I'm always so sad when we go on a ghost tour and we have to just peer in the window and try and take flash photography with the glass reflecting back at us, and it's all dark. And yeah, I guess it's going to be dark anyway. How long were those buildings abandoned? You said they were built in 1880 and then the settlement didn't really work out. So probably a long time.
The core of the village really ended around the 1889, 1890 timeframe. But there were a couple of families of about, they call themselves colonists. So in the heyday in 1880, 1883, 1884, 85, we had about 500 residents or colonists that were there in Rugby. By 1890, we're down to about 20, mostly made up of a couple of families. And so those families, specifically a family called the Walton family, they really took it upon themselves to maintain the structures as best they could. Unfortunately, many of them did succumb to fire. They did succumb to just the environment. So they fell in and had to be demolished, that sort of thing. It really wasn't until 1967 that Historic Rugby Incorporated, under the leadership of a 16-year-old named Brian Stagg, they really felt that they had to protect the remaining structures. And so that's when he, again, took it upon himself to form Historic Rugby Incorporated at the age of 16 and really preserve these buildings. That's still the mindset that Historic Rugby has now, is really preserving these buildings. And they do a fantastic job. So they run the day tours, and then we come in and run the night tours. We have a profit share agreement with the tickets that we sell, some of that going back to Rugby, specifically for historic preservation.
How many people lived in the town in that 10-year time span?
They came and went. It was kind of a migratory pattern, if you will, because some of them, they weren't used to working the land. So they'd come in for a year and then, you know, I can't hack this. And they'd move back to England, or they'd move to Boston or New York or some larger city that they were more accustomed to, more so than rural Appalachia. During 1883, 84, 85 timeframe, we had about 450 to 500 colonists that were there, really trying to make this a functioning village, a functioning colony. And through a series of unfortunate events, the burning of the Tabard Inn and a couple of the things that they were promised that did not come to fruition, it really was one of those things that just kind of fell into disarray, right? There was very little leadership at the time. And so the colonists just started to peel off. And by 1889, we're just down to a handful.
And then 20 people stayed for 100 years in a town of 20 people. What's that like? I mean, what's their life like there?
really just working the land, working with the Appalachian residents that were still there also, and just kind of maintaining, honestly. It is very interesting. Like I said, I'm not from here. So going into rugby for the first time myself, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. You have to want to go, otherwise you're going to miss it. And it's really like stepping back into a time capsule. So there are about 55 residents that live there now currently, and they're just a really cool, unique, eclectic group of individuals that just love the town, love the history. So they're there to maintain it and help preserve it. But it's definitely a different way of life, for sure.
What's the theory as to why it's so haunted?
Well, everybody loves rugby that's lived there, and they've got such a tie to the area. I think the way that it was established, and then also the fact that people were happy there. There really wasn't any big tragedy or anything like that, other than the Tabard Inn burning and a few things that were associated with that, and then the typhoid outbreak. But otherwise, there really wasn't any kind of tragedy. The people came over here looking for a new way of life and essentially the second Garden of Eden, second Great British Colonization was what they called it. And I think they were just really happy and content there. And that's one of the reasons that they stay.
Wow. So unlike most places that are haunted because of some tragic event, rugby is haunted because the opposite. Because it's just a nice place to live and a nice place to haunt.
Yeah, that's kind of what our theory is. And this is something that we profess at the jail also. Nothing evil. There's nothing malicious. There's nothing demonic or anything like that. It is just these spirits that are enjoying where they're at and they're trying to tell their story. And to Miranda's point, this was considered the second colonization, British colonization of America. And so these people came over with hopes and dreams of trying to get a different life than they had in their British class structure, really. And so I think that they really found in the location, if you go, it is a utopian society, right? It looks utopian. It has a great atmosphere, a great environment. People would go to the water for healing practices and such as well. So there is that type of energy around it already. It's just, you know, unfortunately, they didn't understand how to work the land. And then when the Tabard Inn burned, not once, but twice, that was a large source of revenue for them. And they couldn't really just, and that's why they had to go and leave the village and the colony itself. But people who wrote about it, there's still letters and newspaper articles that are available that you can read. They loved it. They had a great time there. And a lot of the articles and artifacts and furniture and belongings are still in these buildings. So there's still that tangible connection to the history that they brought over in 1880. You can still touch the books, the beds, the dressers, the mirrors, all of these are from 1880. So I think it just has that longevity associated with it as well.
It was a very inclusive society as well. I mean, one of the first in the area to have ethnic diversity as well as religious diversity. Anybody could live there. As far as the religious side, anybody could live there if they were of the Christian religion. And so the schoolhouse that was there and the church, they shared the church services among the Episcopal Church and the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church. I think because it was so inclusive and welcoming to everyone, I think that that was one of the reasons too that they had so many people coming and so many people essentially wanting to stay after.
You touched upon Bigfoot and the not deer a few minutes ago. And Miranda, this is actually a question for you. I grew up in Tennessee, like you did, and I never heard of the not deer until recently. Did you grow up hearing about it? I just missed it, or is it a relatively new phenomenon?
I mean, I'd always heard of it. That was one of the things that my grandma talked about, and that would have been from the early 1900s. She was born in 1908. But it seems like it's a phenomenon that people have been talking about more recently, especially I've been hearing about it more in other areas. I've always heard about it.
All right. Well, there, that solves that mystery then. I just guess I wasn't in the cryptid circles growing up. But Bigfoot's been in Appalachia for forever. Are there any particular legends about Bigfoot from that area that cause you to bring it up? Or do you just talk about it because it's just a regional thing?
For the most part, because it's a regional thing, for the most part. There's some interesting things that have happened there in Rugby that have kind of drawn us to talk about it. At the end of that specific tour, I always take them over to the pole. There's a pole that's been just completely shredded up outside of Huffington House, which it's kind of interesting the way the marks on it is, because there's the way it's almost like it's slashed across, and it's almost 9 feet up. It's very, very high. Obviously, it could be a bear. There are bears in the area. One of the caretakers and one of the maintenance people there showed us that, and it had just happened a few weeks before we were given this tour. And it happened while they were inside the house doing some renovations on the house. After we've taken this 1.1 miles walk from the cemetery, I always end with that because it's interesting that we've survived this long, dark walk through the woods. And it's like, let me show you some of the things that has happened here at Rugby. One of the interesting things that's actually been seen there at Rugby is more of what I would consider more of a UFO ET type activity. It's a very dark area because there's not a lot of light pollution, so it's great for sky watching. But even as far back as some of the different journals and diaries there from Rugby itself in the late 1800s, they were reporting seeing either like a glowing type rectangle that would appear in some of the fields and around some of the houses. And then we had a really cool capture that one of the local residents actually shared with us from her Ring camera, which looks like it's so bright. And from the image, it looks like a small person-shaped glowing. I don't even really know how to describe it. It's so bright and glowing.
It's a very luminous little being that's standing at the edge of her driveway. It's all light, completely white light. And it was enough to set off her Ring doorbell. So she's captured a picture of it. Wow. And it's an amazing picture. I've never seen anything like it.
It was definitely wasn't a ghost.
No, I wouldn't categorize it as a ghost. It's probably the closest thing to extraterrestrial that I've ever seen. It is completely bright, and there's no light source that could be causing it. And it's probably one of the most amazing pictures I've seen.
You almost see an aura from it, like looking at a light, just looking at this picture. It almost causes a shape in your eye from just how bright this is on the image.
When you say glowing rectangle, do you mean like the monolith or like a Vogon ship?
Almost like a door, like a monolith or like a door. And that report goes back to late 1800 diaries, which is fascinating.
Yeah. Wow.
So you ready to book a night in Rugby?
Definitely.
Another interesting thing about Rugby, and it's a great thing about Rugby, is some of the original buildings you can actually lodge in. The Newberry House, it was built in 1880. It's an original house you can lodge in. It can sleep, I think, 14 people. Percy Cottage, Pioneer Cottage, which is the oldest structure in Rugby. You can stay there. And so it really is just this unique place where if you're really into paranormal and cryptids and UFOs and just being somewhere that has such a unique energy. It's unlike any place I've ever been. It just has this energy about it. So you can lodge there and really immerse yourself in the entire history of this village.
I cannot wait.
I know.
Now, for people who are listening, if they want to lodge in Rugby, should they get in touch with you to help set that up, or should they contact Rugby directly?
Yeah, well, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to come for a paranormal investigation, so Rugby has a 2-night minimum on lodging. So if you're going to lodge there, you need to book for 2 nights. If you're coming for a paranormal investigation and you only want to do 1 night, you have to contact us at historyhighwayshaunts.com. And we will go ahead and tell Rugby that you're going to book an investigation with us, and they'll waive that 2 nights. If you just want to go just to stay at Rugby, just Google Historic Rugby Incorporated, and that will take you right to their lodging website.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure to include links to that in our show notes, and hopefully that will entice some people who, if you're listening and you're within driving distance of Northeast Tennessee, you really need to check this out. Because, I mean, how many opportunities are you going to have to stay at a place like this?
Right? It is extremely unique.
Very, very cool. I know that people who are listening cannot see the multitude of cats that have appeared in the camera since we started recording, but we've got an entire like zoo of cats going on here.
There's been at least three cameos.
I keep seeing them pop up behind Miranda, and I've got one here who may be hearing her purr in the microphone. And then I understand that the historic Scott County Jail also has a cat.
Selly.
We do. We have our mascot is Selly, the jail cat, and she is the absolute perfect mascot. She was a stray that came to the jail about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, and she just could not fit in any more perfectly with our team there than she does. She is our head of guest relations. She's internationally known. She's got a fan club in Switzerland already.
What?
So, we have her t-shirts on sale at the gift shop. Her t-shirts say Paw in Order.
Aww.
So it's a picture of her and the jail. People love her. She gets gift packages from across the country. They'll send her cat balls and toys and treats and all this other stuff. And people will come just to take pictures with her. It's one of those things that she was a little godsend to us. We love her.
That is amazing. All right. So we also will include the address if you too want to send a gift to Selly.
The website is historicscottcojail.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to historyhighwayshaunts.com.
Okay. I'm assuming the address to send things to Selly is on those sites.
Yes. Yes. She's partial to seafood treats.
Oh, okay. Cool.
No wonder you use cat balls in your investigations.
And she stays at the jail. We get a lot of people asking, do we take her home at night? No, she stays at the jail. And we had a conversation with her too and said, you got to be okay with the spirits. And we told the spirits, you have to be okay with Selly. And she seems to love it. And there's been several times where teams have gotten EVPs in reference to her. There's the kitty or here, kitty, kitty or Selly. They've gotten those EVPs. So our spirits have been really good with her.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm impressed. I'm looking forward to getting a Paw in Order shirt while I'm there.
Yeah. And Miranda, you design all of those, right?
I do. I design all the shirts, all the merchandise that we have in the jail, as well as the exhibits and marketing material that comes out.
And you do a wonderful
job
with it. It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
In case y'all didn't know, Miranda Young's a professional graphic designer. Her skills are definitely put to use in all of the signage and everything. Another thing about the jail, too, that I noticed when I was there, when you go into the jail, it is a good energy that you feel there. You always hear about these creepy old haunted jails, but not your place. You walk in and it feels nice. It feels like people are playful and not bothered at all that you're there and they want to talk to you. It's just a really, really interesting energy to be in a jail.
You know, it really is. And we tell our teams when they come in, our spirits don't like being interrogated. Like, don't sit there and say, what'd you do? What are you in for? Are you guilty? Some of the best evidence that we get is when we're just kind of joking around. So, for example, we are given a lantern tour or a flashlight tour. And at one point during the flashlight tour, we put up some K2 meters and just have a mini session upstairs. And on one of the tours, we had some really good looking guys. And we were in the women's cell. And one of them said, well, if you light up the meters, I'll take my shirt off and do a little dance. Everything lit up.
Oh!
All of our K2s started going crazy. So it's that type of energy. They like it when you cut up with them. We had a team that comes in that is very jovial, and one of the guys brought a fart machine, and he showed them how to set it off. Now, it never set off, but we captured a flatulent EVP. You actually hear it, and it was kind of interesting. So that's the type of stuff that happens at the jail.
Singing.
Sighs, coughs, farts.
Yeah.
Which of these things are we going to do, Becky? Take off our shirts and do a dance, or are we going to fart for them? We've got to have at least one of these experiences, because this is the first I've heard of any of this.
Yeah. I think you need to bring, if you play an instrument or sing, I'm going to add this to the website, because when we have people, if we play music, that's great. But when people start singing or actually playing harmonica, guitar, anything, that tends to light up the equipment much better than just playing something or even just singing a cappella. I mean, they really like that personal interaction tends to be what really brings a lot of that out rather than just getting your generic questions answered and working in an interrogatory manner.
Well, I don't know if I'll be able to bring my fiddle, but...
Oh, please. Oh, please, please.
You should totally do that.
Maybe. I'll think about it.
They're friendly spirits. They just want an entertaining evening with you.
Our most famous inmate actually was Ernest Tubb. He was a country singer. And he spent one night inside the jail. He got intoxicated. And so they did arrest him and put him in jail for one night. And the jailer at the time did give him a guitar. And he played a private concert for all the inmates in there. So music just seems to be an amazing trigger item. If you do nothing else, some type of musical interaction seems to bring out a variety of our spirits.
That is really, nice. Really cool.
This is all very informative, and I'm biding my time until I get to see this place. I'm so excited. We're planning on visiting this area of the world in the beginning of May. Keep an eye on our socials for exact dates, plus anything we're about to do live broadcast-wise.
Would that be okay if we did any lives?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
We just really appreciate your support. The Historic Scott County Jail is something that we're very proud of, as well as our partnership with Historic Rugby. You know, we'd love to see your listeners. If you book something at Rugby, just let them know that you heard it through this podcast. And if you come to the jail, let us know, because we'd love to see you.
And links for everything you need to know about how to get in touch with Miranda or Christy, the Historic Scott County Jail, and Historic Rugby, and the After Dark programming at Rugby, we will have on our show notes at homespunhaints.com in the show notes for this episode. So be sure you check that out. You guys are wonderful hosts. Anybody would have a great time interacting with you guys and doing a guided ghost hunt. You will also allow paranormal teams to come into the jail as well for an evening. Mm-hmm. And then you also do day tours of the jail as well, just of a historic nature, correct?
Correct. Yes. So you can come in and take a day tour. That's self-guided. We may change that up a little bit here in the coming months, but right now it's all self-guided. And yes, we offer paranormal investigations as well as lantern tours. We also have an escape room in the jail. So if you're into escape rooms, we have one up on our third level. You get 60 minutes to try to escape our maximum security cells. So that's pretty interesting. We have ghost walks, lantern tours, all of that fun stuff.
Whoa, an escape room in a haunted jail.
We have to
pretty
do
awesome.
That. Maximum security escape room.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah.
We're just crazy enough that sounds like a great idea. Let's do it.
That sounds wonderful. Dr. Christy Sumner and Miranda Young, the ghost biker, thank you all so much for talking to us today about all of your adventures and sharing some history of East Tennessee with us as well. Can you all share your Facebook information, your socials, things like that? We'd like people to follow you.
Our Facebook is Historic Scott County Jail or Historic Rugby After Dark. Our website for the jail is www.historicscottcojail.com. If you want to learn more about rugby or the jail, we have a kind of a dual website. That's www.historyhighwayshaunts.com. And then also you can visit Soul Sisters at www.soulsistersparanormal.com or The Ghost Biker at www.ghostbikerexplorations.com.
And are you all still doing YouTube channels for each of your paranormal investigation groups?
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. Miranda is very busy. She just dropped her last season in October.
Season 6.
I've got some stuff planned with Soul Sisters. So yeah, we're definitely going strong on both fronts.
My gosh. And when do you sleep?
We don't.
Because we also give a lot of presentations and stuff as well. Aside from the paranormal, as I said before, historic preservation is something that's very important to us. So talking about historic preservation, how you can maximize historic preservation revenue through After Dark tourism, that's something that's very important as well. So we give presentations and talks and speeches and interviews and all kinds of different things.
Yeah. And we do a live podcast from the jail there, the Jailhouse Informant podcast. And what's really fascinating about this one is not only do we share history from the jail itself and some of the different stories, but we'll have paranormal investigators on. And we've been doing a special series with that where we've been interviewing other locations, specifically jails. Some of these are Chamber of Commerce. Some of these are just straight paranormal locations. And so we use it as a cross promotional effort to let other people know about other jails that are out there and how these jails have a new life with what the people are doing through historic preservations. And that's every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
And they can find that on YouTube?
Yes, YouTube and also the historic Scott County Jail Facebook page.
All right. A lot of places people can find you. So,
Oh, yeah.
If anybody says they don't have enough paranormal content to digest, they've got no excuse now. Thank you both so much for joining us this evening. It's been wonderful to see your faces again. And Diana and I are really, really looking forward to coming up by your way and checking out the jail and Rugby and hopefully staying a night in haunted Rugby. It's wonderful, everything that you guys are doing. It's a small little part of the world that you guys have taken on and working hard to preserve. And it's just amazing that you're keeping it going and making it available to everybody. So thank you so much for all of the hard work that you're putting into that.
Well, thank you both. We really appreciate your support.
Haunted Loves, you'll have access to all of the links and websites that you heard at our website with show notes for this, which is, of course, homespunhaints.com. And we can't wait to spend the night in a tiny haunted town full of English noblemen in the middle of nowhere in Appalachia. That's definitely going to be a spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty and produced by Homespun Haints Media, LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.